we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Welcome, welcome, our wonderful, wonderful audience. You know, the seasons can be up and the seasons can be down. I hope that you're having a renewal with Christmas and Hanukkah. And I hope you're going to have a renewal with the new year. And we're going to be interviewing a very interesting man today who will give you an opportunity to renew some of your ideas and polish them up. And his name is James Lee. He's a very interesting person, so much so that I suspect he's been blocked from view in many, many ways, much as we have been. And I'm Peter Bregan. I'm a psychiatrist, blocked in view many times. And my wife, Ginger Bregan.
Hi, folks.
We've been working together for 40 years, and I've been around more than double that time. And we never cease to be amazed by the truth. And I think today is a day where we're going to be learning some truth that we have not been aware of. But the world is so corrupt and so confusing and so demoralizing that it's really good to take the attitude of, hey, what am I going to be shocked by today? I haven't thought of it exactly this way, but I think this is a really good way to view the new year. What is going to astound me? What is going to make me doubt large areas that I used to poo-poo? I think the people who were talking about it just didn't know what they were talking about. So that's what I'm going to suggest. This is all spontaneous, folks. I had no idea what I was going to talk about. I think we should dedicate the new year to the being amazed.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Drones, you want to know what drones are about? Be amazed. Because what is going on out there requires a really acute sense of nothing will hold down my thinking. Nothing will stop me from just being amazed. Even if things are going to pieces, take a look at it. It's amazing. And on the other hand, I hope you find God in the coming year. How about that?
That's lovely, Peter.
Yeah. If you don't have a handle on love, and about the only way to have a handle on love is to believe in something greater than yourself, and that really gets into whatever your look at God is about. So,
well, I'll tell you, a lot of amazement can be really daunting at the least, and it can be overwhelming sometimes. And if you have a sense of some greater entity that overlooks things, then that can be a great comfort in those moments of loneliness or fear. I'll admit to a lot of fear in the last 4 years, and that can make a really big difference.
Our guest today is James Lee. He and his wife seem to have a very close relationship, a real partnership, and that has immediately interested us as we've relaxed and chatted with him at the before the show today. And James, I'll give you some of the subject we're going to be looking at today, and I don't want you to get scared by him, so I'm actually glad I brought up the daunting issue. What is solar geoengineering, SG? Why does it matter? He's going to talk about things like that. What's a brief history of SG? We're going to get to different things. What is, oh my gosh, subscale geoengineering?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't read too much.
I'm done. Yeah,
let him give his definition.
I'm done. And we're going to open it up to him at the start and just let him talk to us about his area. His website is connect.climateviewer.com. Climate Viewer, sir. Welcome to Peter and Ginger Breggin on America Out Loud and dozens of other outlets now addressing, I think, hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes. Hi, Jim.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to speak with such a prolific activist such as yourself. And I'm always amazed at, how few people know about weather modification, geoengineering, and space weather modification. We're constantly fed, from the legacy media, this fear of CO2, this fear of what was global warming, which became climate change, which became global boiling. We're constantly told that cow farts are going to kill us all, and that all the crazy weather we're experiencing are caused by these little molecules of CO2. Yet nobody in any of these media outlets will address the fact that we have been attempting to control the weather for over 100 years. Once you start to take it into context and you realize what was possible in 1946 versus what's possible today, and we realize that there weren't even computers that you could fit in your bedroom in 1946. In 1946, before 1946, was what was called the age of pluviculture. And I'm borrowing this term from James Roger Fleming, credit where credit is due, where all manners of techniques were used to try to make it rain. Everything from the concussive methods of exploding bombs in the upper atmosphere, shooting mortars and cannons, hail cannons, which are sound projectors. We could even go back to the Native Americans, the rhythmic beating of a drum and kicking up of aluminum filled dust into the air to seed the clouds. That's why in 1946, Vincent Schaefer, Irving Langmuir, and Bernard Vonnegut invented cloud seeding using silver iodide and dry ice. The idea is very simple. What do you need to make a cloud? What do you need to make it rain? You need three things. You need a seed or an aerosol, what's called a cloud condensation nuclei, CCN. This seed is what water vapor sticks to. That makes clouds. What makes the water stick to the seed? Static electricity, provided usually in the form of galactic cosmic rays. These are neutrinos and all kinds of energy from outer space that make it through our Van Allen belts and our ionosphere deep into the atmosphere, and that's what makes clouds. Well, once enough water vapor sticks to the seed, it gets too heavy, it falls on the ground. So the idea behind cloud seeding is that we have more water vapor available up in the air than we have seeds. So if we put more seeds into those clouds, then we could make it rain more. So they claim that this was the birth of real weather modification science. This was invented in December 1946. By November 1947, they were already attempting to steer a hurricane with this. Now, General Electric Laboratories, which sponsored all of this, along with the U.S. Army Air Corps, they went out over a tropical storm and dumped a bunch of chemicals into it, which that tropical storm promptly changed directions, changed colors, turned into a hurricane, and slammed into Savannah, Georgia, doing $3.2 million in damage and killing people. So not a good start. Not a good start. But that was in 1947. By the Vietnam War, this new agent of change was used as a weapon of war. Silver iodide and lead iodide were used during Operation Popeye, also known as Operation Motor Pool, over Vietnam to do weather warfare and Laos, Cambodia, and the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Their slogan was "Make Mud, Not War," a obvious insult to the hippies who were saying "Make Love, Not War." It was just one of those colorful euphemisms, I'm sure. But their idea was to make the Ho Chi Minh Trail impassable by exacerbating the monsoon rains. And we've all probably seen Forrest Gump up to his waist in water. That is the result of weather warfare in Vietnam. Well, to make a long story short, a Jack Anderson, reporter of the hit of the last century, in my personal opinion, he's got stones of steel, let's just put it that way. He saw a note in Lyndon Johnson's Oval Office that said, "Continue operations in over Laos and weather modification Operation Popeye." And he took a picture of that. He included that in the Pentagon Papers. This led to Senator, what's the guy's name? I'm drawing a blank now. Seymour Hersh. Seymour Hersh wrote the first article about this in the New York Times in 1971, which led to congressional hearings by Senator Claiborne Pell, which led to a United Nations weather warfare ban in 1976, the year I was born. Now, I grew up in Sumter, South Carolina. I was originally born on Vandenberg Air Force Base. Oh, Vandenberg Space Force Base. That's changed recently. And, you know, I've been in Sumter most of my life, from 2 years on till I decided to leave when I was 22. And I went to Air Force Junior ROTC. We did an entire year of weather, one whole year of just weather. It was amazing to me that the idea of weather modification didn't come up once. In fact, since, you know, I've become an activist in this field, we've, for lack of better words, trolled a bunch of meteorologists who were live on Facebook and asked them about weather modification activities involving cloud seeding. And I would say 50% of them act like they've never even heard of it. So if you're feeling like you've never heard of this and why haven't I heard about this, don't be surprised. You're not alone. 90% of the world has never heard about this technology, even though it's been going on for over 100 years, let alone that weather warfare was banned in 1976. Which leads us to the modern era, where in 1977, Cesare Marchetti, he coined the term geoengineering as it pertains to sucking CO2 out of the atmosphere and pumping it into the ground, something they called CO2 sequestration. And later on, in 1991, the Mount Pinatubo eruption cooled the planet significantly for a brief moment in time. And scientists around the world who were part of this climate cult decided that that's a really cool thing. I wish we could make artificial volcanoes ourselves. So the idea that volcanoes burp large amounts of sulfur into the stratosphere, creating a nuclear winter almost, was something that they thought would be a good idea to mimic. So thus was born the idea of solar geoengineering, or specifically stratospheric aerosol injection, SAI. Among the chemicals that they proposed putting into the stratosphere to reflect sunlight away from the planet to cool us and save us from global warming, sulfur, aluminum, titanium, calcium, and even diamond dust are the top five candidates for chemicals to be sprayed in the stratosphere to reflect light away from the planet. Now, I don't know about you, but I heard you guys mention at the beginning, I too am a God-fearing man. I believe that God created this beautiful planet. It is a self-sustaining living organism, perfectly balanced, and we just keep throwing it off balance. I believe that God should control the weather, not man. There are certain things that men should not mess with because we have an arrogance, we have a hubris, and we think that we can control everything. And I know in your field, you know, there's a lot of people that believe they can control the brain with a bunch of chemicals, and that comes with a lot of side effects. Very similarly, in a very complex and chaotic system like our atmosphere, every time you make the smallest perturbation, it can cause very large changes that are not well understood and usually not attributable to the people who caused the change initially.
The genuine butterfly effect.
That is exactly where the term comes from. Does a butterfly flapping its wings in Brazil create tornadoes in Texas? Well, that's the million-dollar question. So, interestingly enough, after the invention of cloud seeding in 1947, in 1948, Irving P. Crick invented the ground-based cloud seeding generator. This expanded very rapidly with Project Skywater, funded by the U.S. Bureau of Land Reclamation from the 1960s through the 1980s. And to this day, all along the Rocky Mountains, from October through March of each year, ground-based cloud seeding generators on the west side of the Rocky Mountains do what's called orographic cloud seeding, or snowpack augmentation, the idea of creating extra artificial snow on top of the Rocky Mountains so that once it becomes springtime and it melts, it feeds the Colorado River and all of the West Coast, which is already water strapped as it is. The interesting part about it is that the only thing that's necessary for them to do this is literally fill out a sheet of paper because of something called the Weather Modification Reporting Act of 1972. And in it, they can literally just say, we're going to modify the weather for, you know, the next 6 months. They don't have to say when, what storm, or any of that. So there's no accountability on a per storm basis. But what we can say for certain is this: when I hear every single year that neighboring states are saying, well, we're experiencing flooding this spring because of an unusually large snowpack this past winter, that snowpack was artificially generated. At least they claim it was. So if you claim that you did increase the snow and it's causing flooding damage in a neighboring state, if the attorney general of that state knew that, let alone the insurance companies that are paying out, you know, millions and billions of dollars for flooding damage, I think this process would be wrapped up pretty quickly. And we spoke briefly about that before the interview started. And that's something I would love to provide some evidence of in a court of law, because up to this point, if you look at case history for people who've tried to go against people modifying the weather, they claim that they can control the weather to make profits, but once it comes time to pay the piper in a court, they say it's God, it's nature, it's climate change.
Yeah. We have to take a break. Thank you. This is such a fascinating introduction.
We're talking with James Lee. We'll be back in a moment.
Is your gut a mess? Two-thirds of Americans suffer because of gastrointestinal issues, and I was one of them. That is why we created a three-step, doctor-formulated, completely natural gut reboot system that you can do at home in just minutes a day. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/outloud today. Get the Malcolm Healthy Gut Bundle. Reboot your gut and your energy and save 20% on your first order.
Stay prepared with the Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit, designed by top cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough. It includes medications like ivermectin, amoxicillin, generic Z-Pak, and other life-saving antibiotics, plus a guidebook for safe use. Be ready for emergencies. Order now at twc.health/outloud and use code OUTLOUD for $60 off your first order plus free shipping.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, and sleep deep. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients supporting all four stages of sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Hello again, wonderful audience. I hope you've got your ears all perked up, and I hope your frontal lobes are moving along, and that your spirit is listening to this. James, you're telling us things we never knew. No, I didn't know about the UN banning weather war, and you'd think I would know that. I did not know that. I certainly didn't know there were generators of some kind lined up across the Rocky Mountains generating snow. Now, who exactly is the generator of the snow?
So it depends on the state. If you look at the Weather Modification Reporting Act of 1972, I have three different websites. ClimateViewer.com is my blog. WeatherModificationHistory.com is where you can read an entire interactive timeline from, you know, 1850 to present of all of these events. We also have over 850 newspaper articles and journals dating back to the 1800s and 1181 patents for weather modification and geoengineering activities. But finally, climateviewer.org, I've created a map that's similar to Google Earth where I could map things out. So I've actually mapped out where these cloud seeding generators are based on the government reports that are required by the Reporting Act of 1972. So I've been able to actually find where these cloud seeding generators are, who they belong to, who operates them. And I'll give you an example. In Idaho, Idaho Power Company actually owns and operates the cloud seeding generators. Interestingly enough, that's because they have a lot of hydroelectric dams in the area. So Idaho Power, when you pay your power bill to Idaho Power Company in that state, if you're in the sound of my voice, know this, part of your money is going to modifying the weather. Very similarly, in Sacramento, California, Sacramento Municipal Utility District, SMUD, if you're paying your water bill to them, they're using about $1.5 million a year for cloud seeding activities. Pacific Gas and Electric is another one. In the case of PG&E and SMUD, they're actually hiring third-party companies like North American Weather Consultants, Weather Modification Incorporated, which has just become Weather Modification International. Go ahead.
James, give me an idea. Give us an idea. What is the plan that, say, Utah or Idaho might have in mind when they're going about doing this modification?
So they justify it by saying that, you know, they can provide so many acre feet of water, you know, or ice snowpack on top of the mountains, because as retired Lieutenant Colonel David Kuchinski said, water will be to the next century what oil was to the last. He said this in 1994. And he was referring to the blue gold rush, the water wars. We're running out of potable water because we've polluted so many sources of fresh water. Examples like the benzene and underground aquifers from fracking activities, overuse. A big one that's going on right now that most people don't know about is the artificial intelligence supercomputer data centers, or even like the NSA's spy facility, the Utah data center. These require billions of gallons of water to keep them cool.
For cooling.
And It's just something nobody would ever think of. So very quickly with my map, I was able to overlay different data sets that I created. So one, I created a set of drilling and fracking wells in the United States. And then I created weather modification activities, and I mapped them out where they were occurring. And then I turned the U.S. drought monitor on, which is a live reading for today. And it's just starkly amazing how they all line up. The droughts are where the drills are where the weather modification activities are occurring. So we create these artificial droughts by overuse of water in an area that needs more water than it can produce. So they go then pay companies to make it artificially rain more because they're always in a deficit. The problem is that since 1947, they have not been able to prove any scientific efficacy of cloud seeding. Every single attempt to prove they know what they're doing, that it's predictable and reproducible, has failed. And this was highlighted in 2003 when the National Research Council came out with a paper basically saying that our opinion remains very similar to what it was 40 years ago, that cloud seeding has no scientific efficacy and large-scale weather modification activities should not occur. However, we're now talking about cloud seeding on a worldwide scale in the stratosphere, because dumping chemicals into the stratosphere is no different than dumping them into clouds to make it rain. It's going to have big changes on the entire planet. The changes are completely unknown. Now, of course, they're doing the same thing they did with COVID, and they're using their appeal to authority through their technocratic methods of just showing, I have computer model. Computer models say everything's going to be fine. Computer models say we're going to be able to cool the planet by 1.5 degrees Celsius and everything's going to be pretty much hunky-dory. Well, garbage in, garbage out. We do not have enough data about the atmosphere to understand what the ramifications of creating a global sunshade are, let alone can we even on a micro scale be able to prove that cloud seeding is effective at all. So we really don't have the data to prove one way or another how damaging it is versus is it doing anything at all. Now, we certainly there have been some pretty well-documented cases of cloud seeding being pretty effective, and one of which you would never believe would be the Chernobyl nuclear reactor meltdown. The nuclear fallout was headed towards Moscow, and Moscow quickly scrambled jets to do cloud seeding to create a drought. Now, this is the opposite of creating precipitation. They wanted to rain out all the water. This is done through what's called overseeding. Goes back to the equation we talked about. Water vapor, cloud seeds, static energy. If you don't have enough water vapor and you have too many cloud seeds, not enough water can form on that drop to get heavy enough to fall. So what did the Russians flew over Belarus and they caused all of the rain that was in those radioactive clouds to fall on Belarus. You can see anybody can, you can go to Wikipedia, Wikilaia, will show you a map of the Chernobyl meltdown and the radioactive zone there. And then just northeast of there in Belarus, this other very large radioactive area. That was because of what they called Operation Cyclone, where eyewitnesses said they saw Russian military jets streaming yellow clouds out the back of them where they were attempting to do just that, to make the rain fall somewhere else. And the 2008 Beijing Olympics, the Chinese said that they were going to stop the rain from falling on their open air Olympic stadium. They failed miserably. Anybody can go and watch videos of people sitting there getting soaking wet inside the bird's nest. So yes, you know, it is possible to, just like the CIA did in Vietnam, they wanted to make it rain. In Cuba, they wanted to stop the rain. They called it a rain embargo. The CIA was trying to kill Castro's sugar crops by causing the rain to fall in the Gulf of Mexico before it could make it to the island. So there's always been this, is it effective or not? Documented cases of people attempting to modify the weather, outcome unknown. And there's always this plausible deniability on the parts of the people who do it, who say, well, you cannot control things like hurricanes. Meanwhile, Project Storm Fury was a 20-year project done by NOAA to attempt to steer hurricanes. And in 2008, the Department of Homeland Security had a hurricane modification workshop that was supposed to prevent the next Katrina, because they said that it's a threat on the homeland. So there are all these people in all these different organizations which are attempting to modify the weather for different purposes, and some can be very conflicting, as you could have literally two farms in Nebraska. One wants rain on his crop, and the other one paid an insurance company, and the insurance company has crop insurance, so they don't want hail to fall and destroy their corn. So they do hail mitigation. One is trying to make it rain. The other is trying to make it not rain so that the ice crystals don't grow large enough to fall on the crop and do damage. And this kind of stuff is
actually insurance companies doing
paying weather modification companies for different purposes.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's hail mitigation.
Yeah. I have a question, which is, of course, we've done a lot of coverage recently on Southeast Appalachia and what's happened to especially Eastern Tennessee and Western North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of discussion or speculation or a combination of that regarding how that hurricane and the rain before it that landed in that area, how that happened. And I know there are differences of opinion about what was being done. What I'd like to know from you is what you think might have been done intentionally or unintentionally that ended up causing this really unique set of circumstances where, first of all, there was all that rain that fell in that area in the days before the hurricane moved up unexpectedly and sort of skipped over the lower part of the country that it landed on and then slammed into that area and with just, I think, the worst natural disaster we've ever experienced. I don't think the body count is right, which is, I know, beside the point for you, but I think this was just an unimaginable natural disaster that we had. And I wonder about whether it was supplemented in some way and was a little less than natural.
So this is where, you know, I have to put, you know, speculation versus facts. The facts are we tracked every single flight that came near that hurricane. From formation to eventuality, we tracked every single boat that came through there, because believe it or not, there's even things like marine cloud brightening boats. There are different boats that can deploy different types of chemicals. There are even drones that can operate in this arena. But guess what? Drones do not show up generally on any flight tracking software. So whether it's FlightAware or globe.adsbexchange.com, we were not able to conclusively find any evidence of cloud seeding activities, and let alone the fact that in the case of Operation Popeye in Vietnam, the operations that happened over Cuba, you know, Iran is currently claiming that, and has been since 2010, that other nations are stealing their clouds, stealing their rain, causing drought there. In all of these cases, if the military is going to be, is the one actually doing these operations, or the CIA, I like to call them the climate intelligence agency, because they've been involved in all of the above. Anytime somebody's ever done weather warfare, the Environmental Modification Convention, the NMOD treaty, ENMOD, that is the weather warfare ban. It was always the CIA behind it all. So we have today, John Brennan from the CIA at the Council on Foreign Relations, talking about how excited he is by the prospects of geoengineering stratospheric aerosol injection. It is no coincidence that they're still talking about this topic. So, to be real, if someone were to be involved in a secret program to do a whole lot of damage and blame it on climate change, they could do so by flying their planes and never be tracked. So without eyewitnesses to those planes dumping chemicals, we cannot conclusively prove this. This is why this is such a problem. We don't have a way to catch people in the act. However, in looking at the meteorology of what happened, specifically in the western part of North Carolina, on the east coast, just off the eastern side of North Carolina, we had a high pressure dome. And on the western side of the Appalachian Mountains, above just west of Tennessee, we had a low pressure zone. So typically, large synoptic systems, or the cyclones, large weather patterns, they tend to follow the path of least resistance, just like electricity or anything else in nature. So high pressure is heat, you know, a heated area, and low pressure is typically cooler. So the hurricane, basically, it was a tropical storm at that point. It turned away from the high pressure area, and then it slammed into the Appalachian Mountains. Now, what's interesting about it is, if you look at the radio sign data, if you look at all of the different, you know, sensors that we have on it, the majority of the water was in the lower portions of this storm. And because it ran into a mountain, very quickly it goes up the mountain. What happens to air as it rises rapidly up a mountainside? It cools. So that's called orographic lift. It's the same idea as orographic cloud seeding. You're using the wind to carry the chemicals up above the cloud, the mountain, and then drop snow on top of it. Well, very similarly, the tropical storm, when it hit the mountain, it caused orographic lift, which caused compression of all of that air, and it dumped its rain on that side of the mountain.
Wow.
And that's all just natural weather phenomena, which would occur, you know, whether it was seeded or not. But I'll also say this is not the first time this has happened there.
Yeah.
Because when you look at 1916, the exact same thing happened. And we had none of the technology we have today. Asheville was completely washed to ashes.
Okay. Thank you. We have to take our second break.
James Lee.
Yes, James Lee. We'll be right back.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
In just 2 minutes per day, you could reclaim your health and cut your grocery bill in half with one simple, convenient product. Our doctor-formulated Green 85 juice formula's powerful dose of ultra-concentrated essential nutrients stops hunger in its tracks and supplies your cells with what's missing in the grocery store food. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/outloud today. Get nature's super multivitamin Green 85, empower your immune system, cut down on your grocery bill, and save 20% on your first order.
Is your skin feeling dull? Get glowing with Healthy Cells Vibrant Hair, Skin, and Nails, a gel supplement packed with nourishing vitamins that absorbs 165% better than pills for real results. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
And we're back with James Lee on America Out Loud Pulse on Thursdays with Dr. Peter Bregan and Ginger Bregan. Jim, it's such a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you. Is there anything further you want to add about Appalachia, since it's on so many minds at this point?
As a person who lived through Hurricane Hugo in 1989, I was 13 years old, and we were absolutely devastated by it. A Category 5 came over my house, and I'll never forget it. You know, I'm now 48 years old. I was 13 at the time, and I could vividly remember every moment of standing in the eye wall and seeing just the destruction everywhere, spending a year rebuilding everything, going 3 to 5 months with no power, no water. You know, my heart goes out to these people, and simultaneously, my disgust goes out to all of the people who make money off of putting out clickbait fear porn title videos at the expense of the people in North Carolina who are still suffering today. I was raised with a strict set of morals, and I will always adhere to them, and I will never, like, you know, give you the hyperbole that, you know, people who are addicted to fear want. And of course, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And if it's scary, it sells. And I think that that's really the biggest problem we have in the fake activist community. We have a whole lot of people out there who claim to be truthers, but they're in fact putting out black propaganda. Now, I understand that two things can be true simultaneously. Secret government programs to modify the weather for weather warfare purposes are definitely a reality. Those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. Obviously, it's happened in the past. The technology's advanced. It will happen in the future. It could be happening today. But saying it with certainty and profiting off of the backs of people who are currently in pain and not focusing on the real problems, the real problem being that we cannot catch people doing this to this day, and weather warfare was banned in 1976, is why I've created a pragmatic solution. And I've always been solutions oriented. So if you go to climateviewer.com/ENMOD, climateviewer.com/NMOD, I've created what I call the Environmental Modification Accountability Act, which is an add-on, an addendum to the weather warfare ban of 1976, which would bring transparency and verification to this weather warfare ban. In addition, we're working on state versions and a national version updating laws in America to where we have the sensors to be able to test for the chemicals that are known to be used in weather modification activities, that we have the ability to track flights, even though they don't want to be tracked, that we should be able to, at this point, to say with certainty that this was a natural weather event, and not, you know, have everybody speculating. And especially in a world where we just survived the biggest, you know, scam of the century, you know, we have more people now than ever who do not trust scientists, who do not trust politicians. And you can thank the COVID-19 propaganda for that. So in this new world where most of the public, 75% of the public, are skeptical of anything that comes from authoritative sources, we really need to be able to know with certainty, is something like a hurricane being modified? Something as simple as that, when the technology is there, when obviously there are motives that have been talked about, like the mines and, you know, other things that have been discussed. Disaster capitalism is definitely a thing. We need to be able to catch people who inevitably will do the thing that they're not allowed to do. Banning guns does not stop criminals from getting guns, and banning weather warfare does not stop people from committing weather warfare if you have no way to catch them.
Excellent point.
Some of what we discussed in the beginning and really all this relates to predicting the weather in the next 50 years or 25 years. And of course,
you mean predicting it 25 years out?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is being used to build up corrupt capitalism, corrupt progressivism. Everybody who wants more money and more power is agreeing that we need to have a world governance to deal with all these things. And the UN wants to take care of this world governance for us on behalf of what we call the global predators, the billionaires, the major corporations, the major countries, and so on, all of whom want to move toward this global governance.
Certainly.
Good. That certainly is worth a lot to me. Thank you. So what do you actually see in reality is going to happen to the climate over the next few decades? And is there any way to judge it on the behavior of the sun? Is there any way to judge it on the behavior of humanity and so on? The big picture.
It's very easily predictable at this point. Once you begin to, you know, I study the three P's: pollution, privacy, and propaganda. They're intimately related. If you talk about pollution, like if I go testify in front of the EPA in 2015 about flight pollution, then they're going to violate your privacy, figure out who is this dude who just embarrassed us on C-SPAN, and then they're going to make up propaganda about you or completely silence you. So I was promptly shadow banned in 2015 from the entire internet. My entire history erased in a moment. Character assassination is the new assassination. but there, when you study perception management and the techniques that they use to do mass mind control on the populace, the fear tactics, the terminology they use, the projections they make are obviously transparent once you understand slave speak, and which is something I'm very intimately familiar with, language that maintains a master-slave relationship. Everybody should read The Anatomy of Slave Speak. It's one of the things that changed my life. It's available on climateviewer.com/propaganda. Anyway, when you look at the narratives that they're building, and then you look at the reality of what's about to happen, you see some very scary things lining up. So as I said, Mount Pinatubo erupted in 1991. 1997, Lawrence Livermore National Labs, Edward Teller, the inventor of the hydrogen bomb, Lowell Wood, known by his best friends as Dr. Evil, and Roderick Hyde, they put out the initial papers on geoengineering. This is really where geoengineering got its modern start, is in a national laboratory, Lawrence Livermore. So when you take that into consideration, and then you realize that the COP21 Paris Climate Accord was signed on my birthday, November 4th in 2016, thanks, but no thanks, you realize that they set a precedent that could, you know, they set a bar that they knew could not be met, to limit the heating of the globe to 1.5 degrees Celsius. Now, for starters, you can manufacture all that data and say, well, you know what, it's actually 1.8. And most scientists would just nod and say, yes, you're right, because I like my grant money and I don't want, you know, to be ostracized by all my peers. And that's just the way it goes. Clearly, Dr. Bregan would be on the other side going, no, all you people are crazy and I don't need your money. But that, you know, that's the special brave people who are willing to just say, no, everybody else is crazy, I'm not. But when you see this pattern of events, and then you have the UN with their Agenda 2030, you currently have the climate clocks, which were put up by the Pope, by King Charles. So we have these clocks, physical clocks, around the world. You can see them at the website climateclock.world. They're currently counting down. Now, what's the purpose of a countdown clock? Anybody remember the atomic 2 minutes to midnight, you know, those types of clocks? Well, now they have a climate clock that's ticking down. And it just so happens that that clock runs out July 21st, 2029, which is just in time for Agenda 2030, which is also just in time for the beginning of solar cycle 26, which is supposed to be the start of the grand solar minimum. When the grand solar minimum starts, we should be seeing anywhere between a 1 to 1.5 degrees Celsius cooling trend, which means that all your global warming lies are going to very quickly disappear. And all that stuff that you've been proclaiming, you know, that we need to fund to the detriment of our own country, that narrative is going to quickly fall apart. So if you're, you know, an evil technocrat globalist and you want to keep the money train rolling, then it would behoove you to get out in front of this thing and say, well, it's 2029, July. The climate clocks have run out. You have not met our emissions reductions goals. We're going to start subscale geoengineering, meaning we're not going to start a full-scale project like we really want to, like 100 million tons of sulfur per year. We're going to start with, say, 10. We'll start with 10 million tons of sulfur per year and put that into the stratosphere, just in time for the grand solar minimum to start, which is going to start a cooling trend anyway. It's my belief that they want to take credit for saving humanity from global warming through the use of solar geoengineering. What's interesting about solar geoengineering is this. Every computer model, every simulation, and every natural analog, which is volcanoes, when large volcanic eruptions occur, typically the northern hemisphere gets wetter and the southern hemisphere gets drier. What's that going to mean? That's going to mean a lot of dead brown people. That's going to justify climate refugees. So the idea that they're floating out there about climate pandemics, climate refugees, vast movements of people from the southern hemisphere, consolidation in 15-minute cities in the northern hemisphere, biblical floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and bears with laser beams, oh my. You know, everything that they'll be able to justify this through hijacking the hydrological system of the planet. Because this is the goal. Do you see the tie between weather modification? We want to be able to make it rain where we want to make it rain, when we want to make it rain. To geoengineering is really about climate, not weather. Climate is weather over a given location over a long period of time. Now, interestingly enough, because I typically just shoot off on tangents. The Köppen climate classification systems, like over 100 years old. Interestingly enough, no place on this planet has the climate changed from the original classification. that it had 100 years ago. Just an interesting side thought. Oh, by the way, what does climate change really look like? We call it the Dust Bowl. That was when a breadbasket of America turned into a freaking desert. How did we fix climate change in America? We planted 220 million trees. It was called the Great Plains Shelter Belt and was done by the U.S. Forest Service. They're now cutting those trees down. They were created as a windbreak to stop the erosion that was causing the dust storms. So really, while they're complaining about your CO2 emissions, meanwhile flying around on private jets everywhere they go, they got carbon footprints the size of Bigfoot. Meanwhile, you got baby toes. They will always want to put the blame on you and make you feel guilty to the point where you literally have people talking about not having children, which is just furthering this globalist idea that humans are the problem. We are the virus on this planet and we need to reduce the population. What's the best way to reduce a population? To convince them to reduce themselves. So what I see playing out is several agendas all rolled into one through this technocrat ideology of a single monetary unit based on a derivative of energy, as Patrick Wood, famously said, a scientific dictatorship, the technocracy. That single monetary unit based on energy would be the carbon credit, the carbon tax, the carbon unit. So by quantifying people's energy output and input, we can create this scientific dictatorship where they can control every resource on the planet, whether it's food, water, humans. That is what this is all about, this technocratic agenda from the globalists that want to control everything.
This is really interesting and really good. Could you just in 30 seconds explain what the solar minimum is?
So the solar cycle is usually around 11 years. You have a solar maximum where the sun has many sunspots, it's putting out more energy. Then you have a solar minimum. This usually occurs on a 11-year cycle. But then there are grander cycles which happen over a longer period, like the Maunder minimum, the Little Ice Age. We're going into another period, which is one of the longer cycles of decline in solar output. That is the grand solar minimum that's coming up in 2030.
It's going to be cooling.
So our furnace is being turned down.
Exactly.
Okay.
This has been brilliant and interesting and fascinating. Just tell folks again, best way to get in touch with you, to learn about you.
The easiest place to go is connect.climateviewer.com. A lot of people use Linktree. Linktree banned me, so I made my own Linktree page. Basically, if you go to connect.climateviewer.com, you can find all three of my websites. You can find my Substack, my Telegram chat, my YouTube, Rumble, BitChute, Odyssey, X, and all of the rest, including my phone number, my email address, ways to get in touch with me, all at connect.climateviewer.com.
James Lee, it's a pleasure to meet you and to learn from you. And it's been a very enlightening, interesting hour. Folks, spread this radio show around. People really need to hear this. We will have you back again. God bless you in the new year.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, James.